Deborah Beasley, the executive secretary for Vacation Bible School this year, has asked me if I would show you the coming VBS. Come on, Justin.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Good, okay. Well, let's bow our heads and pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me this opportunity to be in front of this congregation. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to go to school, Lord. I know that you know that I don't deserve it, Lord, but you love me enough to do this for me. And I pray you will open everybody's hearts and minds and ears and help us to all understand how much you love us. And what you did on the cross for us can never be changed. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm nervous again, y'all. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. All right. So the title of this message is The Tempter Meets Perfection. All right, so we're going to begin reading in verse 1. All right. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." He answered, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, is that me? No. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus told him, "It is also written, do not test the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus told him, "Go away, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him and angels came and began to serve him. All right, so we're going to start with verse 1. So then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God used this temptation for his divine purposes. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted. We know from the book of James that God tempts no one. So why would the Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted right after his baptism? I believe it was to test Jesus so he could be proclaimed as righteous, because righteousness is a byproduct of obeying God. Jesus was to be the perfect atonement for our sins, therefore he remained perfect even though he was tempted. Like in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve were tempted, they would have been proclaimed as righteous if they would have not disobeyed God. But that's all for verse 1. All right, so we got verse 2. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So let's think about this for a moment. If you Google it online right now, how long can someone survive without eating food or water? 3 weeks. 3 weeks without food, 3 to 5 days without water. So Jesus knows what hunger feels like. He is fully God and was fully man. He not only faced temptation, he faced temptation feeling physically deprived. Can y'all imagine that? We know we can take the Bible literally since it is God's perfect word to man, inerrant and infallible. So just to emphasize a little on this, Jesus felt the full effects of hunger, what it was like to be hungry, but he also felt the full effects of what it was like to fast and be close to his Father. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he received the stones with the Ten Commandments written on them. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 9, 9 through 11. I know without a doubt that God is the sustainer of life. It is only by his power that anyone would be able to fast for such an extended amount of time. And this is what I just said. A person is only expected to live 3 weeks or less without food and 5 to 7 days without water. Though we see, Jesus was sustained by the Lord in his fasting, as well as Moses in his fasting. In the gospel accounts, no mention is made of if Jesus drank water during this period. But in the book of Deuteronomy, scripture is clear that Moses had no food or water. This would lead me to believe that Jesus not only fasted from food during these 40 days and 40 nights, but also from water. Now, why is this important? It is important to understand that God sustains us. The Lord is our sustainer. So we go on to verse 3. Then the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." So the tempter hits Jesus with one big word here. If. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Satan was trying to undermine Jesus' authority and test his closeness and trust in the Father. What Satan was doing is making it seem as if Jesus was not going to eat if he didn't feed himself by his own power. It is through this first temptation that we can see a tactic of the enemy. The tactic is to try to get us to undermine our faith, belief, and trust in God's provision. Another tactic used here is for us to question who we are in God. Jesus knew he was the Son of God, and so did the tempter. Many times, the devil will try to have us focus on what we don't have rather than what God has already gifted us with. So we go on to verse 4. He answered, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus hit Satan with the sword of the Spirit. He hit Satan with the book of Deuteronomy when he says that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Every word in the Bible proceeds from the mouth of God. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God provided. Their clothing did not wear out, and they ate manna, and their feet did not even swell from walking for 40 years. Wandering, walking 40 years in the desert. Jesus knew his Father was going to provide for him because he was with the Israelites in the desert those 40 years. This is my example of the Trinity. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." That's from Psalm 91. See, I know Psalm 91 by heart pretty much because when my dad was in jail, he sent me like this handwritten Psalm 91 thing. That's just a little personal tidbit story from my life. So I got that memorized. But now we see the devil with his cunningness. Satan not only continues to question the Lord Jesus about him being the Son of God, but he asks Jesus to prove his sonship again. Satan not only uses the word if again to try and undermine Jesus and his relationship to God, Satan tries to quote from the book of Psalms, Psalm 91 to be specific, sometimes known as the protection psalm. Satan leaves out important details from the psalm, such as the part, "to protect you in all your ways." Now, why does Satan do that? Why does he misquote the word of God? Because Satan is deceptive, that's why. The devil is very cunning indeed, even to the point of quoting scripture. Jesus used discernment when answering this next temptation, or test. Jesus told him, "It is also written, do not test the Lord your God." Jesus does not even address Satan's mistake or false representation of scripture. He just hits the tempter with the sword of the Spirit again. Jesus quotes again from the word of God, Deuteronomy, and says God is not to be tested. Jesus would not abuse his place in God's kingdom just to make himself look powerful. What that would be called is pride, maybe even the pride of life. If anyone was here for the last sermon I did, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And every single aspect that was used in the fall of man is being used here against Jesus in this scripture. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus was shown all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He was given the opportunity to be in control of all the devil thought he had to offer. But we know already that Jesus, being a part of the Trinity, is and was already in control of all these things. How would it look if the creator of the universe fell and worshiped a created being? That would be preposterous, ridiculous. Then Jesus told him, go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. This is the third time Jesus hit Satan with the word of God. Jesus uses the greatest weapon against the tempter, the word, his word. We now see a command from our Lord. Go away, Satan. Jesus was not only hungry, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. If you check out the book of Luke, it said when he was baptized, he came out of the river, the Jordan River, and was full of the Holy Spirit when he was going to be tempted. There is nothing more powerful than knowing the Word of God and being filled with his presence and Holy Spirit. It is such a privilege to serve only him. So then the devil left him, and angels came and began to serve him. In the preceding verse, we see Jesus say to Satan, go away, Satan. This was not a request, but a command. Just like in the book of Genesis and the fall of man, God is always in control. Jesus was led by the Spirit to come and be tempted, and God is still in control. While he was being tempted, it may have seemed like he was isolated and out in the wilderness, but he was only isolated from humanity, not from God's presence, not from God's eternal presence. After Jesus was tempted, the angels came and ministered to him. Oh, what a glorious day to be able to minister to the King of Kings. Oh, what the angels must have felt like to be able to minister to the Most High God. So we get into the end, y'all. So the application. How is this scripture relevant or applicable to life? This scripture is relevant and applicable because every Christian will face temptation. Every Christian will need to know how to overcome that temptation, and there is only one way. Trust in God, obey his word, and earnestly believe that he has a better reward than whatever the temptation may seem to provide. So the conclusion, how is the tempter tempting you today? Is it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life? Jesus knows what's going on in your life. Jesus knows your fears, your failures, your sufferings, your disbelief, and every temptation you go through on a day-to-day basis, a minute-to-minute basis. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, but without sin. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. He can sympathize with us in our sufferings and temptations. He not only understands, he knows. Jesus not only knows because he is God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent King. He knows because he has been there. Jesus is the King of the universe, the creator of all we see or will ever see, and he loves us, his creation, to come down and be tempted in all points as we are to show us. He knows what it's like. I would like to drive this point home in another way. God not only knows you because he created you, he not only knows you because he made everything in the reality in which you live, he knows because he came down from his throne on high and became just like you, but without sin, to show you how much he loves you. Jesus trusted God. He took God at his word. That's what we need to realize. God is faithful. When we as Christians think that God does not hear us or that God does not understand what we are going through, he does. He knows every pain, every fatigue, hunger, thirst, doubt, he knows. There is only one way to defeat temptation: trust in God. So the cross reference that I used, the other scripture that I was going to go with, just to think about, just to settle in everybody's mind. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are crimson red, they will be like wool." Because I'm a sinner, and everybody else in here is a sinner, and if you don't think you're a sinner, then you're out of your mind. And what we need to realize is that God loves us in spite of that. And he loves us so much that he came down here and just became just like us. And that's all I got to say. Okay, let me pray real quick. All right, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to come in here and preach this message. And thank you for allowing everyone to have open ears and open hearts to receive this message from you, God. Because it wasn't from me, it was from you, Lord. Because we know there's someone who isn't saved in here tonight. And if they're not, Lord, I ask that you'll please help them to come up here and help them understand how much you love them, Lord. And I pray for the food in the back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we go down? Yep, you can sit down. I know you want to. Jesus did everything he did for a reason: to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew us better than we knew ourselves. And the message that Justin preached just a few minutes ago is the perfect example of what, as we go through temptation, how we can face it just as Jesus did. If Satan's going to tempt Jesus, do you think that you're not going to be tempted? Every single day, every single way that Jesus was tempted. Now, we're not going to be offered the world, but you think the world tries to offer itself to us. I mean, we don't have the same hunger that Jesus was experiencing, but we still hunger. Do we not? We face the same temptations in different ways, and God allows us to get through those temptations the same way Jesus did. Thank you, Justin. How many of y'all have been here all three times that Justin's preached? He's gotten better, hasn't he, y'all? God's going, it's, y'all, listen, I can't wait. He's going to go to school, and you know, sometime we're going to have him come preach again, and he's going to come up here in a suit and a tie, y'all. It's going to be good. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. Amen. Let's all stand. We always want to give an opportunity for an invitation. If God has dealt with your heart during this message, or you listen, if you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, come down during this invitation. Take me by the hand. Take Justin by the hand. Let us show you what the Word of God says. Not us, not our opinion, but what the Word of God says each person must do to be born again, to spend eternity with Jesus. There's one way, and there's only one way. It's not our opinion. It's what Scripture says each person must do. It's what I did. It's what Justin did. It's what Amy did. It's what Michael Carter did. Desi Bishop did. We all must accept Jesus as our personal Savior to go to heaven. Or you want to do that tonight? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? As the music plays, if you want to come and give your life to Jesus, will you come?